Steve, good to have you with us. Let me pray for you and then I'll hand over to you. Father, thank you for Steve. Thank you for his love for you. Thank you for all that he brings to our life here at Mariners. And we pray your blessing on him as he brings your word to us. May it speak to us. May it challenge us. May it change us. And give us something to go from here to really implement in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. How you doing? All right? Let me get rid of some of this paraphernalia that's here. Cheers. You've got to be able to multitask here, because until you get something that puts around your head, you've got one hand for this, you've got one hand for moving your bits of paper. Well, I don't know how you meant to change this as well, so we'll see how we go. Are we all going? Okay. As you've been told already, it's Palm Sunday today. Excuse me. And of course, the vast majority of you know everything about Palm Sunday, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. So I don't need to say much. So I thought we'd have a look at Palm Sunday in a minute, but we're going to look at Palm Sunday in a wider context. I've got to remember to do this. It's on already. I didn't press the button. Bad boy. Let me turn this on. Hang on. I will get organized in a minute. I'll put my glasses on as well. Seamless, wasn't it, was the word? Seamless. Okay. So we're going to have a look at Palm Sunday in a slightly wider context. And I decided to look sort of a little bit before Palm Sunday and a little bit after Palm Sunday. And the context is going to be looking at four different crowds. Let me look at the time quickly, because Andy will be paranoid if I go past 30 minutes. I'll be called for coffee. So we're going to have four crowds that we're going to have a look at. And I want to look at the crowds and some of the responses of the crowds and perhaps individuals within those crowds. And the first one we will look at, so I'm a good boy, crowd one is going to be the crowd that's gathered on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So we know the story. I'm sure. I doubt there's anybody that doesn't really know the story. Jesus gathers his disciples together, and he approaches down into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and everybody cheers and waves and puts their cloaks on the ground, and there's great rejoicing. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? That's Palm Sunday. Done that now. Well, there is a little bit more to it. And I bet you now that I'll catch some of you out, because I don't think you do know everything about Palm Sunday. So just bear with me. Are you happy to have a look at Palm Sunday? We're going to be a little bit, perhaps a little bit flippant. We read the four Gospels. It's in every Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want to ask is, why do we call it Palm Sunday? If we read Matthew's Gospel, we read that they threw their cloaks on the ground so that the donkey carrying Jesus could walk over it in respect and honor. They threw their cloaks and they cut branches. Any idea what happens in Mark's Gospel? You're going to go for palm branches. Anybody else for palm branches? You're going to go, ooh, the Wycliffe translator goes for palm branches. Anybody going to join her? No? Or one or two? Well, they actually threw their cloaks and cut branches as well. Oh dear, we're running out of options now. Luke's Gospel. No palm branches? Anybody think there was? Well, Luke, they just threw their cloaks down. That's what he recalls. Well, you know, there's one more option now. Where do we get this idea of Palm Sunday? Well, John doesn't disappoint. He actually says that they cut palm branches and threw them onto the ground before Jesus. Well, hey, you know, let's all be radical. Should we really be calling this Palm Sunday? Because out of the four different accounts, only one of them has got any reference to palms. The cut branches in the two, Matthew and Mark, were probably something else. Three of them have got that cloaks were thrown down. So, you know, maybe we should call it Cloak Sunday instead of Palm Sunday. Who knows? Okay. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Who remembers where the prophecy was from? Zechariah. How long ago before this happened did Zechariah write this? Roughly. 600, not far away. Any advances? Well, it was just over 500 years before. That's a long time before. And this guy has this prophetic word from God that is fulfilled when Jesus goes down this track from the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem. Gentle and riding on a donkey. You see, the king that comes is a gentle king. They were by now really focusing on the fact that they wanted freedom from the conquering empire. They wanted to get from underneath them. And a lot of what they were looking towards as they went to the Passover to celebrate, which is what was happening, this is where they were going to, was not just the release from captivity from many, many years before when they were let free from Egypt, but they were also looking forward, and it was almost like is it going to happen now? Is the real freedom going to happen now? And they knew that it was something that would happen. There was going to be a freedom that would come, and it was in anticipation partly of that. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd. Here's our first crowd, okay? We're thinking about four crowds, if I get a chance. It might only be three, if not. Four crowds. So the first crowd, a very large crowd, spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city, was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" It's a real anticipation. Who is this? The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, I'm not going to go into every little bit of this, but I want to pick out a couple of things. There's the first thing that we read there that they shouted was, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And this idea of the Son of David, you know, he couldn't have been the Son, because David was alive about 1,000 years before this. But it was, again, this anticipation. There was this recognition that the Messiah, the one who would come and set his people free, would come from the line of David. And so we have this phrase, Son of David. There's a recognition here in what they shouted out of who Jesus was. He was the Messiah. He was the one that was coming to set them free. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We've got two mentions there of the crowd, a very large crowd. We're told in verse 8 and 11, it says, the crowds answered, this is Jesus. Ever wondered how big the crowd was? Did you see, well, we've been asked already this morning, did you see the games? Well, you must have, if you saw the games yesterday, the football or the rugby, you will have seen large crowds. Now, I don't know what the figures were, but, you know, lots of football games are 30, 40, 50,000. I expect the rugby more than that. Anybody? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't got a clue. But there were crowds there, but there were also crowds watching probably around the world. But how large were the crowds here? Any guesses? God, I love to get a bit of an idea. See, I said that you'd be finding some stuff out that you hadn't realized this morning. Any ideas? 80 people. Okay, 80. We might have an advance on 80. 500. And any advance? 120. 3,000. Oh, there's somebody being a bit braver. Okay, well, let 18,360. You are the closest. So there was the Romans at one point wanted to know how many came to Jerusalem during the Passover, and it was a few years after this happened, okay? But there's a historian called Josephus. I expect some of you have heard of this guy. And he reckoned, and he reported it. Now, we've got no way of proving how accurate he was, but he reckoned that there were in Jerusalem 2.7 million people. Now, most people reckon that that was an overestimate. But if it was a tenth of that, 270, what's a tenth of that? Where's my mathematician son? 200, is that 270,000? I'd have to write it down to see the zeros. That would be a huge number, wouldn't it? Massive, massive, massive crowds that were there, jam-packed in this city. And we're told that they're all buzzing, they're all saying, who is this? Who is this? There's real sort of excitement. So Jesus enters on a young donkey, a colt. And I've just sort of compiled some of the things that were said. Well, actually, none of these things were said. They were all shouted. This is from the different Gospels. So we get a real flavor of some of the things that were said. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. We're getting a bit of a flavor here, aren't we? Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Peace in heaven. And glory in the highest. All different things that were shouted as Jesus comes down on this donkey. And palms, reeds, cloaks were strewn in his path. They knew who he was. How would we describe that scene? Well, I think jubilant is probably as good a word as anything. They were jubilant. They were rocking. Yeah? They were rocking. Wow. Shouting and screaming. You know, I'm not sure who, I'm terrible with names. What was the rugby player who at the end realized, well, sort of celebrated that they'd actually won the Grand Slam? Yes! Like this, and you can see him there. And I, you know, it's that sort of jubilance that these people had, you know, they were really engaged with everything. They didn't care what the next door neighbor was doing. They were gonna shout it, Hosanna. They were jubilant. We're told that the whole city was stirred. Well, that's not quite true. The whole city was stirred, we're told, but there was a small group of people who weren't very stirred in a jubilant way. They were very disturbed. Any idea who they were? The Pharisees. They always get a hard sort of ride, I think. You know, they were trying to do the best that they could. You know, they were a bit like somebody we could mention. Does the best he can, and you know, trying to get to God, trying to do things for God. But they were misguided. You know, they come to Jesus at one point and they say, with all the furore that's going on, "Teacher, will you rebuke your disciples? Will you tell them to shut up? It really isn't a fitting thing to be doing." So that's the first crowd. The crowd at the celebrations that we now call Cloaks at Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry to Jerusalem. But the same crowd soon changed. The same crowd of people, all those that were gathered in Jerusalem. And they were gathered around Pilate, and they're what I'm going to call the persuaded Jerusalem. Well, why am I calling them the persuaded Jerusalem? We're told that the Pharisees had come alongside them and they'd sort of stirred them up and they'd sort of said, "Yeah, you really, you know, this other guy, he's far better." You see, they were no longer a jubilant crowd. They were no longer even disturbed Pharisees because they now had the hearts and minds of the crowd. They had managed to get in, wheedle their way in, and persuaded them. Persuaded them. And the crowd shouts, not Hosanna, "Crucify him! Free Barabbas! Crucify him!" The same crowd. Oh, bit of a change here. You know, you compare and contrast. That's what you had to do at school, isn't it? Compare and contrast the following things. You've got the same group of people, and one moment, a week before, they are shouting praise, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Now they are shouting crucify. Crowd three is a crowd that happens about a week before Palm Sunday. Remember how some of the crowd were shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David"? Well, there may be a little bit of an echo going on here, or there may not be. There we go. Son of David, Son of David. Ring any bells? Son of David. Any guesses who the third crowd was? I can hear mutterings, but I can't hear anything. Well, I love this story. So this is about a week before. Jesus and his disciples had come to Jericho, and from Jericho they go across toward the Mount of Olives. Come to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man named Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Notice what he shouts. He realizes that this is the man that can do it for him. He can save him. He can heal him. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and said, "Be quiet." But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You would, wouldn't you? Well, I'd hope you would. You receive your sight and you follow Jesus. Quick aside, anybody here receive their sight? No? Anybody seen somebody receive their sight? Yeah, one or two. I have. John Naylor has as well, if he casts his mind back. We're in Scotland at a men's retreat many years ago. I don't know how many years ago, actually. And this guy who was, it wasn't completely, he had a very, very, very small amount of sight. He gets prayed for, and we take him outside, and he said, "I can read the signs there." And he's looking further and further away, and we're going, "Okay. Oh, yeah, he's right. Yeah, yeah, it does say that. The number plate is that." And, you know, there's an amazing quality about Jesus. He brings what we need. He brings us salvation. He brings us healing. He brings us restoration. And this guy, Bartimaeus, we actually read in one of the other Gospels that there are, in fact, two, but only one is named, Bartimaeus. And we see him here in Mark 10. But there's actually two of them. He receives his sight and follows Jesus along the road. So we see in the third crowd, from which Bartimaeus shouts out, something different. We don't see jubilance. We don't see a disturbed section. Well, he certainly wasn't. He hadn't been persuaded. He was irrepressible. You know, "Be quiet, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Son of David, have mercy on me." You can't stop him. You know, if they'd have kept saying, "Will you shut up?" he'd have kept going. I think that was just the sort of guy he was. He knew that Jesus could bring his sight back, perhaps for the first time. So he is irrepressible, and we're told that he followed Jesus, praising God. Do you know, here's a little thought that popped into my mind. I wonder, a week later, if he's the one who beforehand, here he's saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I wonder if he is the one who actually starts up the chant, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" And everybody else said, "Yeah, Hosanna to the Son of David." You know, he was there. He had followed Jesus. A week later, he's there with the crowd, jubilant, praising God, praising that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, acknowledging him as their king. So, crowd mentality, the way things change, individuals that change in a crowd. What are we like? We're not a big crowd this morning, but we are in a wider crowd of the human race, or the crowd that is Gloucester, wherever we come from. And, you know, what are we like? We may be introvert, we may be extroverts. We may be ones who are quite happy to shout out, or that just like to be quiet. And they're both okay. But what is your response to Jesus? All of these were responses to Jesus. To Jesus' claims. of who he is, of who he was. What is your response? Are you jubilant? But is that jubilance short-lived, maybe? Or sustained? Are you disturbed by the claims of Jesus? And really think that it should be quelled, quietened down? You know, all these radicals shouting and waving their arms about, they are mad! They really should be quiet. You know, 2,000 years ago, this guy was crucified, and that should have been the end of it. I don't believe the claims that he rose from the dead. I don't believe the claims that he can change lives. Are you disturbed? Or are you persuaded, perhaps persuaded in a negative way, by your peers, that all of this is a phony? There are multitudes that believe that. Or are you like Bartimaeus, and like so many others at the time, and so many today, irrepressible? Whatever anybody says, whatever happens, whatever hits the fan, and it does for all of us at times, we know that somehow Jesus will get us through. He is who he said he was. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that we can only get through to get to the Father. Are we irrepressible, following Jesus, praising God? Wow. I'm doing exceptionally well for me. I said that there were four crowds. And the fourth crowd is quite a bit after the Palm Sunday. It's quite a bit after the week after that, the Easter Sunday crowd that cried crucify. And I find this quite interesting. You see, if you do a little bit of a study, remember we're calling this Palm Sunday, Cloak Sunday it should be, remember that? We find that the word palm is only used twice in the New Testament. And the second time that it's used is in the verse we're going to have a look at, which is the fourth crowd. And I'm going to call this crowd the real Palm Sunday. And it might have been, it probably isn't a Sunday, but forget that bit. The palms are there. No cloaks, no branches, palms. And I think they're probably, it's so small it's disappeared. Mine's going to be bigger than this. Okay? I expect yours will be as well. What's this fourth crowd? Still to come. A great multitude. Wow, sounds like a big crowd. Great multitude. After this is a prophetic look into the future, into heaven. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. That's probably quite a few then, isn't it? More than 50 or 100 or 10,000 or even 2.7 million that may have been there around Jerusalem. This is millions, possibly billions. I don't know. A great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches. I just like to tie it together. It's good, isn't it? There they are, waving them. I don't think it's the same ones that they would have had. I don't think they hang on to them. You know, I think there'll be some you can grab when you're there. waving, holding their palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice. There's a lot of shouting goes on, isn't there, in the kingdom of God? You notice that? There's a lot of shouting. I think perhaps we should shout a bit more. They cried out in a loud voice. Ready? Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Sound convincing? I think they're going to be convinced. And if there's such a great multitude, that's going to be deafening. You know, I don't know if we're going to be issued with earmuffs or something, or whether our hearing will be such in our changed form that you know, it'll automatically, like some earmuffs, will sort of cut in that microsecond so that our ears are... I don't know how it's going to work, okay? I know I have these bizarre questions that come up in my mind. But it'll work. That much I'm assured of. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. So what's the final question? Jubilant, disturbed, persuaded, irrepressible. Each one of us have to make the decision as to what to do with Jesus. We are part of the crowd. My question is, are you going to be part of that crowd? That's going to be an exciting day. I can't wait to see that. Such a great multitude. That's our choice. Each one of us can be there. Whether we're an extrovert or an introvert, I'm sure you can. No, I don't think you're not going to be allowed in if you don't shout. Okay? For those who are quiet. But I think you'll want to shout when you're there. So, Palm Sunday, Cloak Sunday, is all about realizing who Jesus is, recognizing that he comes as King, as Saviour, and it's up to us to make the choice with how we deal with that. Because he's not going to change, but we can. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.